Welcome to the Mostly Podcast at Night, Sawtober, Episode 5, Jigsaw and Spiral.
Are you worthy of this podcast?
Ask yourself.
No, I'm not worthy of
it. You're not worthy?
I should go home.
You're not worthy and you should go home?
We're not worthy.
We're not worthy. I'm worthy. I should be here. That's because this is my home.
My squatting place.
Yes. Your partial home, whenever you feel like it.
Whenever. I'm like Maverick now. I just come in, I like knock on the windows and be like, hey, I'm just going to squat in your laundry room. It's fine.
We'll put an air mattress in there for you. It's fine.
How you doing, Chaos? How's it going?
I'm fantastic, Carnage. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a long week.
It has been. But guess what? It is the end of Sawtober.
Are you so excited for that?
I don't want to sound negative or anything, but I am so excited for the end of Sawtober.
So does this mean next Halloween you get to pick what the theme is again?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. It's going to be horrible, isn't it?
Yep.
It's going to be like Chucky dolls or something. I don't know.
It's going to be Birdemic.
No.
And All Who Sail in Her.
No.
Yes.
I hate you. I vetoed that one.
Too bad.
Veto Birdemic.
You can't veto Birdemic.
Yes, I can.
Nothing vetoes to Birdemic.
Yes, it does.
It's too horrible. Its horribleness knows no bounds.
Okay, then I veto Velocipastor.
You can't veto Velocipastor because Velocipastor, for one thing, is a guest pick.
Can't we veto guest picks? I mean, that just seems wrong that we have no veto power over a guest pick.
Nope, sorry.
Fuckers. You're all plotting against me. I see how it is.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. We're all plotting against you. Ha ha ha.
All right, you want to tell them who we are and what we do before I take you down to the octagon?
Sure. We are the Mostly Podcast at Night.
Mostly.
We are two best friends for 20 years who bicker and banter our way through a different horror movie each week. We take turns picking the flicks, and most of the time out of a desire to share them with you, our lovely audience, but sometimes out of a desire for revenge or prevenge. And in that case, that is because we have hashtag friendship goals, and our hashtag friendship lives in the hashtag Marianas Trench of Hate with all the other hashtags. No, we have our very own octagon down there where we duke it out when we don't see eye to eye on movies, which happens fairly regularly.
Oh, yes.
But we see eye to eye on these movies pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Somewhat.
Yeah. So, spoilers ahead and expletives ahead.
Yes, that is true. Can I just say something else, too, before we get into this one?
Sure.
Do you know it's our 5th anniversary of this podcast?
Oh my God, you're right.
As of Monday, this episode, it'll be our 5th anniversary.
Technically, we recorded October 13th for the first time. Yes.
Oh, whatever.
But for posting purposes, yes. This is our 5th anniversary.
I feel like we should do something to celebrate other than Sawtober, but
well,
we've got November. We were dealt with. any difference you feel like now between now and 5 years ago?
I feel like our equipment's better.
Well, that's for sure. We have mic stands now.
All right. I think we've learned a bit about podcasting in that time. A little bit.
A nugget
of knowledge.
What not to do and then use that anyway.
Yeah, right. What not to do. And then we do it anyway.
Because because that's how we roll, bitches.
That's right.
All right. Well, I just figured I'd bring that up before we got into this because I saw it on the calendar because it came up on my Facebook feed. And I was like, oh, I should remind Chaos about that. I don't think you forgot. So
I totally forgot. But we have to do something special in November.
Well, first of all, you can stop saying friends of 20 years because we've been friends for a lot. We've been saying that for the last 5 years. So you got to stop saying
friends. We can friends say friends for 25 yes, years now.
Yes.
I've been waiting.
All right. Well, anyway, like you said, we were finishing out Sawtober with Jigsaw and Spiral. We're going to get through Jigsaw first. It was done in 2017. It was an R-rated. It was an hour and 32 minutes long, and it got a 5.7 on the IMDb scale. What about the tomato meter?
So glad that you asked, because you see, the tomato meter for Jigsaw is at a green splotch at a 32%. Critics' consensus, Jigsaw definitely won't win many converts to the Saw franchise, but for longtime fans, it should prove a respectably revolting, if rarely scary, diversion. Audience score a lot higher at an 89%.
What?
I am not kidding. 25,000 plus ratings, too. It's not like it was like 25 people.
Should we do cast?
Yeah, let's talk about the cast.
There's a big one.
Yeah, big cast this time. Logan was Matt Passmore.
He was in The Wrong Reason, Deadly Switch, and 13 Reasons Why.
Jigsaw was Tobin Bell. Detective Halloran was Colm Keith Rennie.
He's from Memento, 50 Shades of Grey, and The Firm, the TV show.
Eleanor was Hannah Emily Anderson.
She was in X-Men Dark Phoenix, Lizzie Borden Took an Axe, and What Keeps You Alive.
Detective Hunt was Clee Bennett.
He's an urban legend, Lucky Day, and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Okay, interesting. Anna was Lauren Vandervoot.
She was in Rabbit, Ted, and Smallville.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must make a correction. Laura Vandervoot, not Lauren. Oh, sorry. Ryan was Paul Bronstein.
He was in The Thing, Monster Hunter, and Shazam.
Mitch was Mandela Van Peebles.
Of the famous Van Peebles family. He was in Reginald the Vampire, Mayor of Kingston, and A Clear Shot.
And Carly was Brittany Allen.
She's in The Boys, The Prodigy, and What Keeps You Alive. Do you want a little summary?
I would love one of Carnage's famous 5-second summaries.
Jigsaw timeline gets fucked up again and things go awry.
Things do go awry.
They very much go awry. Yeah, so as we said, the timeline's very foobard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tricky. It's 10 years after Jigsaw's death. You're supposed to believe it's 10 years after Jigsaw's death, yes. There's this one police informant, Edgar, who's being chased to this rooftop by a ton of cops. He's got like this bomb trigger in his hand. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, shoot the trigger.
Yeah.
So what? Okay. I don't know if it works like that. I don't know how to do bombs, but is that how that works? Do you know? Like, if you shoot the trigger, just, like, the bomb won't go off if it's for a bomb?
No. The bomb will still go off. Like, it just won't go off by the trigger.
I think that's probably not the brightest thing to do is hit the trigger with your guns.
I don't think shooting the trigger would do anything, though.
I don't know either.
I don't think it would start the bomb because you're just destroying the trigger. It's a trigger. That's all it does is start the bombs.
Okay.
So if you shoot it, nothing would happen.
Well, they're supposed to shoot the trigger, but somebody shoots Edgar. But they don't kill him. He goes to the hospital.
They put him in a barbiturate-induced coma to keep him alive.
Smart. Nice. That's where we meet Halloran and Hunt, though. They're the ones that he was there. He was Halloran's informant, and they're the ones that are the cops of this game, apparently. So you're introduced to them, and you're introduced now to the game, which you think it takes place in the same timeline. Spoiler, it doesn't.
No, it takes that place 10 years earlier, right?
Actually, more than 10 years, because this is the very first, this is the very first Jigsaw game ever.
Oh, okay. So this takes place a long time ago.
Right. So we're going to spoil the shit out of this. This is actually Jill Tuck's family's pig farm that no one uses. And Jigsaw has selected these five people to be in his very first game. So you've got Mitch, Anna, Ryan, Carly, and an unknown person. They're on bucket hats, so you can't see who they are. Mm-hmm. And the trick is that they have to, there's saw blades in the wall that their chains are dragging them to. And mm-hmm. the key is that they have to spill some blood for the thing to stop. So like Anna and some of them, you know, they cut their arms. Somebody cuts their pinky off. One hits their back on accident and that stops it. The fifth person just doesn't wake up though in time.
Yeah.
And by the time he gets there, you see him and you think he's torn up by the blades because it goes right through his back because mm-hmm. he doesn't come out the other side of the door. But the other four, Mitch, Anna, Ryan, and Carly, they all go through the door and they're in this farmhouse. Like, it's not scary.
No.
I mean, it's like, it's kind of like the fifth one where it's just they're already in the trap. It's trap after trap after trap. It's very similar to that where just you lose one person at each trap. Mm-hmm. The first trap after that is the Carly's trap where she's robbed people. They all have sins.
She's a purse snatcher and she accidentally caused the death of an asthmatic woman.
Yeah, because she stole her purse that had her inhaler in it and the woman went after her and she had the money in her hands, which is $3.55, and the inhaler. And instead of taking the inhaler to the woman, she runs away.
Right.
So everyone's had sins. That's why they're here, apparently.
Yes.
So that's her sin and... she's got a poison in her that there's three needles that one holds an antidote, one is just saline, and one is an acid that corrodes. Well, Ryan is a complete fucking dick because he wants to save themselves because if she doesn't inject herself, they're all going to hang.
Right.
As they're being pulled up by these chains, Ryan takes them all and stabs them all into her throat.
Yep.
And she obviously dies.
So she dies.
But painfully. They're saved, so it's fine, right?
Right.
The next trap is they're in a room where there's obviously a door that says this is not an exit. Well, Ryan, again, being an impatient dickhead, goes to try to get out that way. But it's a trap because he falls through the floor and gets his leg caught into a...
It's ensnared by wires.
Is that what it is? It's wires? Yes. It's like steel...
It's steel wire, wires that wrap around his leg and trap him painfully.
Meanwhile, Halloran and Hunt find the quote, air quote, first victim, Buckethead, hanging in a park. Mm-hmm. They take him to the medical examiner, which is Eleanor and Logan. Everyone has secrets. Everyone has secrets. Eleanor was going to be part of Cleveland. She was going to be the head medical examiner, but it's Cleveland. It's Cleveland. Who wants to go to Cleveland? I love that. I laughed at that part. I'm like, ha-ha. I know. That's
funny.
But she's also in the dark web. She's very fond of Jigsaw and his history. And...
she is a Jigsaw fangirl.
Dude, she's a super fan.
She's a super fan. She has replicas of his traps in her quote-unquote studio.
No, she's made those replicas. That's even more hardcore.
Well, okay, yeah, I said she had them, but yeah, she made them.
It's like the difference between you and me. Like, I would buy them off of eBay. You would make Jigsaw's traps, though. That's how dedicated you are.
I would.
See?
Because I love Jigsaw so much.
It's the level of dedication it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get stabbed. You don't even play. You're like, what games? I'm just going to stab you.
I want to play a game. Stab. You just stabbed me. That's not a game.
It's Chaos's kind of game.
It's Chaos's kind of game.
What's Logan's secret? His wife died. I don't know. He doesn't like Halloran. I don't really care about these people, honestly. We're, again, in a movie that I don't give a shit about any of these people. Do you?
No.
Like, they try to make you care about, like, Eleanor and Logan. But I just don't.
I was so confused. I could not emotionally invest in anyone because I did not understand what was going on.
That makes it hard, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're back at the traps. I mean, it's just like any other Saw movie. We're back at the traps where Anna and Mitch have to go. They go into a silo.
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, if a door opens, don't go through it. Investigate first. And if it's a silo, don't go in that because you know what's going to happen.
Because you know what's going to happen. I was just like, I'm not going in there because that is where you get killed.
So Jigsaw tells Ryan and them, because they've got two-way like TVs to see them both. Ryan, you can only save them both by pulling the trigger that takes off your leg. That's the only way you could save them. And he doesn't. He lets the grain fill up to drown them, and then the grain just stops. He's like, oh, well, everyone's like, okay, we're fine. And then knives and saw blades and all sorts of sharp fucking things start flying out of the same chutes.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And they just start landing in the grain that's been filling up, and they're screaming because they can't move. And like one knife hits the guy in the shoulder, and so they're like, please, please, you've got to help us. And so he finally does do it.
Takes off his leg. Just it takes cuts off it in three leg. Paces.
Yep.
They somehow get a tourniquet around it, though. Ugh, drag him. I guess they just drag him to the next thing.
Basically, yeah. And they then the next room, John confronts them and reveals that Anna suffocated her baby and framed her husband for it. Yeah.
You're way far ahead. Mitch hasn't died yet.
Well, what did I do?
I don't know. You jumped ahead because the next one's actually Mitch's, where it's that it's the spiral looking contraption that it's got like a red spiral blade in it that Mitch has got to reach the handbrake of the motorcycle to stop the contraption from happening.
This is left out of my summary completely.
Oh. Well, what happens is Anna actually gets up there with a metal rebar and she actually puts it through the tire of the bike and she stops it for a moment and they're all like, oh God, you saved me. Pull me up. The rebar breaks and the fucking machine shreds him. Shreds him completely. Like, so he's unidentifiable.
Oh yeah. Okay. Now I remember that.
Key point here because they've then found what they think is Carly's body, you know, and then the present timeline.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's a Carly lookalike because someone's redoing these. They're redoing all these deaths. So they find the Carly like, the Carly, fuck me, lookalike. And Logan has got everyone thinking he's talking. He's like, I think it's Halloran. We know Halloran's a dirty cop. You know, we think it's Halloran that's doing this. You know, check out his, but meanwhile, Halloran's like, okay, Eleanor is doing this because she's got the contraptions. Hunt actually followed them and took pictures of all the jigsaw traps that she has.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of like, they did it. No, they did it. And it comes down that they find what we think is Mitch's completely shredded body.
Yeah.
And Eleanor's, Eleanor's loft, but Hunt finds jigsaw pieces in Halloran's freezer. So they think Halloran's
skin.
Yeah, they think Halloran's framing Eleanor.
Right.
Okay, well, everyone makes it to the pig farm.
Right.
And this is where we catch up with Anna in the movie. Anna and Ryan.
Okay.
So you take over from there for where that is.
So Anna suffocated her baby and framed her husband, who killed himself over it. This is the final test. He leaves them a shotgun, a loaded shotgun. He says it's the key to their survival, so Anna thinks that means that she needs to shoot Ryan, but the gun backfires and kills her instead. I think it was, it looked like it had been manufactured that way by John to backfire on purpose.
Oh, definitely. Because he said you had it backwards. It was in the thing. You have it backwards.
You have it backwards. So he finds that in the shell, there were two keys that would go to the locks around, the padlocks around their ankles to free them. But his key gets destroyed in the blast, so he has no way to free himself and he's left to die.
Right. And, which is funny because there's only two locks with two keys that we see John actually pack in that shotgun shell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like he knew that only two of them want to make it in the end. You know what I mean?
I know. It's kind of funny. I don't understand that, but okay.
But Logan and Eleanor make it to Jill Tuck's pig farm because they're they're convinced that Halloran is trying to replay the, you know, trying to renew the whole Jigsaw thing. Well, Halloran shows up behind him because he's stalking them, and they have a kerfuffle. Halloran knocks Logan out, but then is later, as he's going after Eleanor, he gets knocked out by a pig man in a pig mask. Both Halloran and Logan wake up in these like laser collars, which they look like the Running Man. Kind of look like a little Lynn Denlin's collar, except with lasers instead of shotgun shells this time. Pretty nifty. And the game is they must confess their sins,
or the laser cutters will kill them.
Yeah. So Halloran says, "Oh, I'm ready to confess my sins. I'll go first." But he presses Logan's button. Oh, he's killed Logan.
What a jerk. Well, Logan confesses, but he still gets the laser cutter treatment.
Right. Yes. So we think. Halloran's collar then goes off. And, what Logan's confession was is he's the one that mislabeled John's x-rays.
Yes.
Well,
that would have allowed John to get diagnosed sooner if he had the right x-rays.
Right. The poor bastard, they probably cut into the head of with the tumor that had no tumor. Oh, God, to go through that.
Well, I'm hoping that that was a preliminary test and there were future tests that would have, like, they'd do a biopsy and there's nothing there.
You think they would then do like, something went wrong. Because how does a tumor just go away?
Right.
Anyway, what do I know? I'm not in the medical field.
We're not doctors.
Not a doctor. Halloran, then the laser start on him, and that's when Logan gets up. He's not dead.
Well, Halloran confesses.
Yes.
He actually does confess. He admits that innocent people died because of him, and then it shuts off. And then Logan gets up, and he's not really dead.
Right, and he recorded that mm-hmm. innocent people died, so he could frame it for Jigsaw murders.
Mm-hmm.
We find out that Logan was the first victim, the one that we thought Buckethead,
mm-hmm.
that didn't make it. No, John rescued him and decided to save, you know, forgive him for his honest mistake, as he says. And then he becomes his tutor. His very first tutor, before Amanda,
because
Hoffman. And
everybody who comes across Jigsaw ends up working for him.
Apparently. Whatevs. So because Halloran was responsible for the death of, or somewhat responsible for the death of Logan's wife, he got off the murderer that killed Logan's wife. Logan wanted him to die, so he killed him. End movie.
Yeah.
Yay. And he lets the laser go.
And he's like, I am Jigsaw.
Boom. Mic drop.
Boom. Mic drop. Credits roll.
Just like Amanda and Hoffman. Unwinnable game.
Right.
Did it for revenge. No one's learned Jigsaw's way. I mean, honestly, no one has.
Nope.
But Logan lives.
That's the thing that kind of irritates me, is that, like, they go, okay, there are these rules, but we're just going to get around them by saying, oh, well, they didn't really learn.
No.
And then they do it every time. So it's like, where's the emotional impact?
There is none.
Right. It's just about gory deaths.
Which this time it wasn't even that gory, I didn't think. I mean,
comparatively, no.
My favorite one was when they're in the silo and the grain stops and you're like, sigh of relief. And then the knives and the saw blades. Like, that was just funny to me. Like, that was hysterical. I lived for that trap. I was like, I'm going to be the person at the top throwing that shit down. Mm-hmm. You're like, it's like a game. Yeah.
Sure.
What was your favorite trap?
I think Carly's trap was my favorite trap.
Where they all got hung if she didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It stuck with me the most.
I mean, I like that there is a connection to Jigsaw. I'll explain more about this in the next movie. But at the same time, I feel like it was a necessary follow-up to the last one. Dr. Gordon's ending and the last one still bookended the series. And it was supposed to be. But because it got made money, they're like, oh, well, we can keep going. But I feel like they shouldn't have.
No.
Because
this just wasn't because a good fall. You can doesn't mean you should.
No, I agree.
We learned that all the way back in Jurassic Park.
I'm watching those right now. Did I tell you that?
No.
So I never saw like the Chris Pratt movie. Actually, I never even saw like the third one. So we're going back now and we're watching them. And I'm like, they never learn. They never fucking learn. Like, I'm on the first one with Chris Pratt. I know. Like, they opened it up as like a Walt Disney World type. Spoiler for that if you haven't seen it yet. Open it up like a Walt Disney World type thing. I haven't gotten all the way through it yet because our DVD started skipping. So I need to like get a new DVD player or a cleaner or something. So I don't know what happened, so don't spoil the end for me, but yeah, like they never learned.
Don't spoil the end for me, that movie's like 10 years old.
Shut up, I know. Don't spoil it. All right, so the one thing of trivia I did want to talk about, because it doesn't happen in the next movie, but for every other Saw movie, there's been a traditional blood drive. So each person donates blood at specific locations at specific times. They get a free ticket to the movie. Like, they got a free ticket to Jigsaw. I just think that's so funny considering, like, you have to give blood. You know what I mean? Like, the theme of the movies usually. So, so I just thought that was great. A little piece of trivia for that. So, that's my little piece of trivia for that. Do you have anything that you want to share?
Originally this was going to take place on, the trap was going to, or the game was going to take place in an oil derrick in the middle of the ocean.
Nice. There's definitely no escaping that
shit. They didn't accept the pitch.
I know the MPAA had to cut back a ton of shit for this too. They had a lot more graphicness that they had filmed and they had to cut it back from the, that was the next one. A ton of shit for the next one. That was for Spiral. Oh, so much shit. Like, I've got so much to say about that.
Okay, well, let's move on to
Spiral. All right, it was done in 2021. It was an R rating. It was an hour and 33 minutes long, and it got a 5.2 on the IMDb scale. What about the tomato meter?
Tomato meter is a green splotch at a 37%. Critics' consensus, Spiral from the Book of Saw, suggests an interesting new direction for the Saw franchise, even if the gory sum is rather less than its parts. Audience says, the story is somewhat predictable and the ending may disappoint, but this new beginning for the Saw franchise delivers enough of the good stuff to keep fans satisfied. Audience score, 75%.
Really?
Yeah, but only like 1,000+ ratings.
Okay. Yeah, because it came out during pandemic time. Like, it's got pushed because of the pandemic, so I don't think so many people have seen it, so. Should we go through cast list?
They certainly made a big enough deal about it when it came out.
They did. No, I agree. They definitely did.
Yes, let's go through the cast. Detective Zeke Banks was Chris Rock.
He's from SNL, The Longest Yard, Grown Ups, and Everyone Hates Chris, to name a few things.
Detective Schenck was Max Minghella.
He's from The Handmaid's Tale, The Social Network, and The Ides of March.
Marcus Banks was Samuel L. Jackson.
From Deep Blue Sea, Pulp Fiction, Snakes on a Plane, just to name a few.
Boz was Dan Petronovic.
He's from Letterkenny.
Oh, wait. Let me try that again. Petronijevic.
No, I think you were right the first time.
Petronovic?
Yeah, Petronovic. Usually the J's silent.
Okay. Boz was Dan Petronovic.
As from Letterkenny, 19-2, and Suicide Squad.
Detective Fitch was Richard Zepieri.
As from Committed, Two Hands, Two Mouth, and Killshot.
And Captain Garza was Marisol Nichols.
From Vegas Vacation, Riverdale, and Scream 2. Do you want a little summary?
I would love one of Carnage's famous 5-second summaries.
I think you'll like this one. Kermit the Frog decided to be Jigsaw and things go awry. Like that.
I do like that because what was up with that voice?
Oh my God,
ask you.
So horrible. Like, I know they were trying to go through like this monotone voice, but no. It sounded like fucking Kermit the Frog was playing games with you, which I wouldn't mind that. I would love to play a game with Kermit the Frog. I mean, he's adorable and he's green.
He's like, would you like to play a game? And then he busts out Scrabble.
Yes, I would like to play Scrabble with Kermit the Frog. Oh, Christ. Yeah, that voice was horrible. The puppet was terrible.
Yeah, it was.
The little pig puppet. Like, yeah. Okay, so this is another... Before I dive into this is just another assault on the police again.
Mm-hmm.
If we've learned anything with Jigsaw, as I told Chaos when we started this movie, if you learn anything with Chaos, you don't investigate a Jigsaw murder because you're either going to be A, killed, or B, become Jigsaw.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your choices if you're a cop involved in a Jigsaw murder. Just saying.
Pretty much.
Which is what basically happens here. So to just do this fucking summary, and I just don't even want to. I'm so mad at this movie. It starts off with Boz, Detective Boz, who's running after a purse snatcher in a street. Oh, it's a very important street. 4th of July parade, whatever. I don't even care. I'm phoning this one in. He follows the fucker down to a sewer. Okay. Call for backup.
Yeah, what the hell? Pig-headed
son of a bitch.
I think I'm going to just go into this hole. What the fuck? I have no idea what's down there.
You don't know if he's got a gun.
Right.
No, he doesn't. He's got a hypodermic needle and a pig mask. You're done. He's trussed up by his tongue in a subway tunnel. And he breaks his tongue. You have to rip your tongue off to avoid being killed by the train. Well, he rips his tongue off and he still gets killed by a train because he does it too late.
Mm-hmm.
Boo-hoo. Boz is dead. Now we meet Zeke Banks, who is played by Chris Rock, who is such a big fan of the Jigsaw series that he actually co-wrote this and he produced it and he's a big fan of it. And he had a lot of input in it too. Are you okay? You look like you're crying. Are you crying because of this movie?
Yes.
This is your allergies?
It's so terrible. It's my allergies. Yeah, okay. It's my allergies.
Banks was doing an undercover thing on his own. I mean, he's totally like every other cop movie that's, I'm against the, I go do my own thing. I'm my own person and I don't need a partner and I do what I want. I don't listen to my kid. Like, this is so, I mean, it's putting that cop into a horror movie.
He might as well be in Rush Hour. Let's just be honest. Like, Jigsaw Rush Hour.
I was thinking like Lethal Weapon, but okay.
But yeah, that works
like,
too.
Like Mel Gibson's character. He doesn't need a partner.
Well, that's the same thing with Rush Hour. Chris Tucker doesn't need a partner.
That's what I'm saying. That whole buddy cop movie thing, but it's set in a horror movie.
Right.
Let's stick the buddy cop movie plot into a horror movie. That's what we did here. With Kermit the Frog being your bad guy. Anyway, they put him with a rookie. Because that seems wise. Shrink. Great. Fantastic. So Nick from Handmaid's Tale is now a cop. Love it. I'm so tired about this movie. And Banks' dad is Samuel Jackson, which, okay, I love that actually for Chris Rock.
Yeah.
I would love Samuel Jackson to be my dad. Anyway, he was this big old, captain. He's known, like he's a legend on the force. But now he's retired and is Chris's landlord because Chris is a divorced misogynist pig person.
Yeah. Who never grows
in
the movie. So what's the point?
Yeah. I just can't. I can't. I got to do this. I got to break it. I got to break the spoiler. I'm sorry, guys. The new partner is the killer, obviously. I mean, you obviously figured that out. His name is Emerson, really. And the reason he's doing this is because Chris Rock's old partner, Pete, who's been off the force now, killed his dad because he was a dirty cop. Because his dad was going to ID another cop that pushed somebody off a building. Because he's fucking full of dirty cops, apparently. I can't. So he goes on this range. He kills Boz. He kills everyone that basically was involved with this cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
So he kills Boz. He goes in. He kills Finnerty. Was that his name, the next one?
Fitch.
Thank you. I don't know where I got Finnerty from. I got Fitch from. He grabs Fitch next. Fitch is one that ever since Banks turned in his old partner, Pete, the rest of the squad's been against him. Like, they never backed him up. He almost got killed because backup was right down the street and they never answered it because it was for Banks and they think he's a dirty rat. So he almost got killed. Well, that was Fitch's fault. So Fitch gets to die in an electrocution tank. Mm-hmm. Where he had to rip off his fingers or get electrocuted. And both happens again.
Right.
So just like Boz, he lost his fingers. And this is one of the scenes that they were saying it got cut so hard from the MPAA because they were going to get NC-17 rating with us. Because they had like bones cracking and the skin falling off. And the MPAA was like, no.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So much of this scene.
Because I was thinking this movie had less gore in it than usual.
It was so tame compared to the other ones, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was okay with because it was kind of boring. But
yeah.
So it gets electrocuted and dies anyway. Next one supposedly is Shank that gets taken. But you don't get to see Shank get taken. You don't see his trap. You just see his tattooed arm.
Right.
He tattooed the transient's arm. Same tattoo.
Right.
And then skinned a transient. And that was supposed to be him.
Nice.
It's half. Oh, my phone's right in front of me. I was like, I thought that was my phone going off. I'm like, phones are in front of me. Sorry. Like, where's my phone at? It's halfway through the movie and you kind of figure it out then because it's like, well, you didn't show the trap. And that's one of the biggest things of these movies is showing the trap and the torture and everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's kind of a big hint there. But so Schwenk dies, quote unquote. And then the captain's taken. Captain is texted to go down to the fucking cold storage, like the basement, by somebody. We don't know who, but by somebody. And she's got to sever her spinal cord to stop boiling wax, basically being waterboarded with wax, which she doesn't do.
She fails to do so, and she dies from her injuries right before Banks finds her.
Of course. Of course. And just as they're figuring out, they're looking through the cameras to see who was down there. But 13 minutes are missing. And who accessed the server? Well, no one other than Pete's. But Pete hasn't been on the force for like 15 fucking years. How the hell could he get in? He was kicked off the force years ago.
Right.
So Banks goes to find Pete. Finds him in a trap. I kind of like this trap, though. So the trap is Banks has got to get him out. Oh, I forgot to talk about this. Banks is in a similar Carrie Elwes trap where he's chained to a pipe with a hacksaw.
Right.
But luckily he sees a bobby pin.
Right.
And is able to. But then he finds Pete, though. And Pete is strung up. And the key's somewhere in the room. But if they don't find the key, what happens is these bottles, glass bottles, go into this like.
Like a compactor. Like a crusher.
Yeah, and then it's like kind of like,
and then the shrapnel is like blown out of two,
like a pitching machine.
Open, yeah.
It's a pitching machine, basically,
and it shoots the shrapnel at them,
which is pretty fucking badass.
It's pretty terrible
as far as traps go. Well, Chris Rock finds the key, but not enough time. Pete dies of blood loss. Okay, great. We go to the next one. It's his dad strung up. And Max comes out. Sorry, it's not Max. It's Emerson. Emerson comes out. He explains his whole backstory of why he did this. And Chris didn't give him up when he was a kid because the cops would have probably killed him if they knew he witnessed the crime. And he wants Chris to be his partner. And sorry, right. Banks. Sorry. Banks to be his partner. And he says, you got two choices. You could save your dad by shooting the target, or you could shoot me and Banks die and your dad dies. So he chooses to shoot the target to have his father drop down. But then he also goes after Emerson. Well, unfortunately, as soon as he goes after Emerson, his dad races back up again.
The SWAT team arrives, and when they're cutting through the door, they trigger a tripwire, which causes his restraints to yank him back up again, yes.
And it brings out a gun from his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the puppet, basically, that Kermit the Frog built.
Right. So the SWAT team thinks that he's the shooter, even though he's strung up like a puppet, and they shoot him.
Emerson disappears, and yep. Banks is left there on his knees crying.
Yep.
End movie.
End movie.
Game over. God, you know what? I'm sorry. I couldn't with this one. It feels like sequel for the sake of money.
Yeah.
I mean, I know all the sequels for the sake of money, but it just has no tie into Jigsaw. The voice was stupid. The puppet was stupid. It was a buddy cop movie shoehorned into a Saw thing. And I don't know how this got such high ratings.
I don't either.
If it was... I don't know. Maybe I'm just being overly critical. I don't know. What do you think? What are your thoughts on this? You haven't talked a whole lot.
I'm sorry. I've been thinking. I don't have a lot to say about this movie. I didn't like it, of course. But I just felt like exactly what you said. It was this other kind of thing shoehorned into a Saw movie, and it really wasn't done well. And I don't know what Chris Rock was trying to go for, but I don't think he accomplished it.
I agree.
It was cool to see him. It was cool to see Samuel L. Jackson. But the characters didn't grow. They didn't realize anything. They didn't... we didn't get emotionally invested in them yet again.
Any of them. None of them I could get. I mean... Sometimes even the murder you do. Like, I love Jigsaw. Like, I love John Kramer as a murderer.
Yeah.
I love Amanda. But I couldn't get emotionally invested in Emerson. Don't give a shit. I don't know. I'm just ready to close out Sawtober. I feel like I feel even worse than when we did Halloween. Like, how, remember how burnout we were?
Yeah.
I feel even worse because I feel let down by the last couple movies.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
I feel like Saw 3D was such a good closer.
Yeah.
That these last two are like... It's kind of like closing on a bad note, you know? Mm-hmm. It just feels like if we closed on last week's, I'd have been happy with that. I don't feel like these two should have been made.
No, I agree. I was hoping these two were going to be different. I was hoping for, like, maybe, like, Jigsaw would be some more backstory into John, but we didn't get any backstory with him. We just got more traps and a confusing plot line.
Yeah, and I had high hopes for Spiral because I did see what the high rate, you know, like I saw like high, like, I didn't look at the comments, but I saw like high ratings for it. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be great, but the connection's not there.
No, it's just more of the same.
It's, if there's no Tobin Bell, there's no Jigsaw, it shouldn't be a book of Saw. Like, it shouldn't be from, I don't know. It just bothers me.
It just feels like somebody had, it feels like, and I don't think they did this because like you said, Chris Rock was a super fan and he helped write it and stuff like that. But what it felt like was what you see a lot of times in sequels where they'll buy a script that has nothing to do with the series, but then they'll shoehorn characters from the original series into it and then call it like that movie, that sequel. Like they did that with Hellraiser all the time where they just took these like shitty low budget horror movie scripts that were really terrible and nobody wanted, and then they inserted Cenobites into them and said it was a Hellraiser movie.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, exactly. It's a Saw movie.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. It's kind of like you can't have Scream without Ghostface, no matter who goes. It's not the same, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you can... Yes, Jigsaw has been Hoffman. Jigsaw has been Logan. Jigsaw has been... But there's no connection. They had connections to John Kramer. They were all connected to him. There's just no connection to this whatsoever.
Right.
It just feels disconnected to me. So.
Right.
Yeah. Should we rate?
Yeah, let's rate.
Go ahead. Let's start with Jigsaw first.
All right. Jigsaw. I am going to go with a... I'm going to go with a 2 for Jigsaw. Because it was confusing.
Okay.
But it wasn't the worst one of the series, but I think it shouldn't have been made at all. So it gets a 2. So Spiral, on the other hand, for me gets a 1 because I really don't even think it needed to exist. And it gave nothing to the series. It added nothing.
No. I'm very similar. I have a 3 for Jigsaw because, simply because yes, I think they should end it with Saw 3D. Mm-hmm. But I like that I at least had a connection somewhat to John Kramer and they were able to fit that in. Spiral gets a 1 for me because if it was a different movie under a different umbrella, like don't put it under the Saw umbrella. If you made it into its own horror movie, it would have been better. It still would have been boring because it lagged like fucking shit. Yeah, it did. And I didn't care about any of the characters, and the traps are eh. You know, like the best one I liked was the glass one. I even asked you what your favorite trap was in this one.
Oh, I don't know. I guess the wax trap. I don't even really know.
The wax waterboarding.
I didn't really like any of the traps in this one, in Spiral. And there was like, it's like, who the fuck cares? Because they're all pretty much unwinnable traps. You know they're going to die, so who the fuck cares?
These were all unwinnable, yeah. All right. Well, Sawtober's over, finally.
Sawtober's over!
We're going to go have a drink. Should we pimp and get the fuck out then?
Yeah. We are part of the Morbidly Beautiful podcast network. Morbidlybeautiful.com is your place for all things horror. And they have a great podcast network, so you should totally check it out. You might find another one that you like even as much as us. Hardy har har. We are on all the social medias if you're looking to connect with us. We are primarily on Instagram, but we are also on Facebook. We have a Facebook group moderated by our social media maverick, Maverick. And we are on Twitter and what else?
Slasher.
Slasher.
Good pods.
Good pods. Yeah, those things. We're at Podcast at Night everywhere, so check us out there. We would really appreciate a review wherever you listen. Leave us a review. It only takes a few minutes, and it helps us get new ears on the podcast, so that's really appreciated. We also have a merch store if you've got cash to flash. Check on over that. It'll be linked in the show notes, and you can check out our designs. So that's it from me, Chaos. I'll just say good night and stay bloodthirsty, friends.
Good night from Carnage, and as always, we are filmed in front of a studio audience of live and disappointed cats. Wow. Good night.